This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team sucks.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
A first and 10 from the Colt 34. Brady with a play fake to Michelle. Stands in the pocket. Bouncing left. Sliding back left. Directing traffic. A lot of time to launch a long high arcing pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side of the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
So sexy. Flash Gordon.
Number 500. In the regular season career of Tom Brady.
What a way to get the 500, to have this kid catch it. Just somebody different again. That's the thing you're going to have with this guy. The ability, when things break down, to just give a playmaker a chance to go up and elevate and get it. That strength, it's power, but... Great job by Gordon, recognizing that Brady's redirecting him. He goes all the way down inside and peels back. Whew. Sexy.
That was a great play Josh made, you know, jumping over the top of two defenders. And, you know, it tells you the kind of confidence I have in a really short period of time. So, you know, he's earned it and happy to see him make that play.
All right, hour two, Agenda Free Friday. Marked by Planet Fitness, the world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Back to your phones in a minute after your thoughts on the Gordon catch last night.
I mean, honestly, I know people think I'm just being a contrarian D-bag. I'm not. I thought the catch was overrated. So Miami, Indianapolis had two guys there. Two guys, and neither one of them reacted to the ball.
Well, that 41 can sure play, huh?
Oh, my God, does he blow.
It was a good catch, not great. You know, Gordon kept his focus. One of those guys tried knocking him kind of off the route a little bit. But beyond that, like, it's a good catch. And if nothing else, like, it shows the strength that he has. And you saw that last week, too. I was more impressed with that second catch where he, you know, shook out a couple of tackles. Like, the kid's built like a brick poop house. You see that, where he can just, you know, if you have two bad defenders like that, just get the hell away from me, balls in my hands, touchdown.
Which is why I thought the other catch last night was the better catch. Like, he got drilled on that, held on to the ball, kept his feet. Like, he is a horse to take down. But that guy, Matthias Farley, is that his name? Like, take a look at the replay. He's just standing there with his hands out sideways, his feet flat on the ground. Like, okay, I'm going to let him jump up and catch it. Dude, you're a safety.
And Lonnie Lett? No, Lonnie. Who's the safety?
Leon Lett?
No.
Ronnie LePet?
No, the safety at San Francisco. Why am I?
Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Lott. Ronnie Lott.
Oh, yeah, no. Without the finger, the whole nine yards. This guy clearly apparently doesn't have a brain. Like, he's just sitting there standing flat-footed, his hands sticking out to the side, looking up at Gordon catching the ball. Dude, you're supposed to break it up, and the other guy's falling on his face. If that had happened against the Patriots, we would be looking at it going, oh, my God, this secondary is pathetic. Pathetic. And then Matthias was the guy who got trucked.
That's what I'm saying.
By Sony Michel.
That's what I'm saying. This guy.
Seriously, if Sony Michel, little Sony Michel, is stiff-arming you and knocking you on your ass, it's time to seek other employment.
Ain't exactly Cam Chancellor back there, but I'll say
he sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
So I'll give you more room to shake your ass with Josh Gordon than the Sony Michel run. The Sony Michel thing was garbage time. Game over. And he had 58 yards on 15 carries to that point. And then, and like, the Michelle thing, please. The Gordon thing, Indy had climbed back into it. It was a 7-point game.
Sure, 24-17, yeah.
And you kind of had to have it. Like, that was still, the game was in doubt. Now, 41 still is a joke. He sucks. And the Colts still suck. So it's not like, again, that the competition is still the competition. But at least that was a spot where you had to have it. And the game was still in doubt. And that was a big play in a big moment. And if you can get that out of Josh, if he just catches two balls a game and one of them is a touchdown like that, you're in. Right? I mean, that's...
It's enough.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'll tell you what. Even if it's not a touchdown, even if it's a big third down catch, I'll take it.
You bet.
That's enough. He doesn't have to get... If Edelman's healthy and Gronk's healthy and White, and it's enough. That's all they need. He doesn't have to be great.
Okay. Your thoughts, Jake and Stoughton, on Josh Gordon. Go ahead, Jake.
What up, 2-6? I know you guys are having a rough day over there. But do you think it was a coincidence that Brady's first touchdown pass to Gordon was his 500th, considering Brett Favre threw his 500th to Randy Moss for his first ever touchdown?
I have no... So you think Brady waited intentionally to throw to Gordon to get his 500th?
Absolutely. Hogan was wide open in the middle of the field running back and forth, and he forces it to Gordon in the end zone.
Wow. Well,
he is right about Hogan. I was talking to Maz about this before the show, and I think that has more to do with, I don't know, Hogan feels like he's kind of dropped out of favor here the last few weeks. Now, granted, he had, what, 4 or 5 targets or something like that last night?
Yeah, 4, I think.
But, man, especially after he has that awful interception clang off his hand, it's not Brady's fault.
But what's the benefit to Brady or the point of getting Josh Gordon?
I don't know. I
don't even understand.
It doesn't make any sense.
What does Moss have anything to do with anything?
I have no idea. I think you're just saying it's a milestone and he wanted that guy to catch it.
Who gives two poops?
I don't think it had anything to do with it.
I don't even get what you're talking about. Derek in Foxborough on Red Sox Yankees. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, I think the Red Sox need to win these first two home games. I know it sounds cliche, but I don't really trust Porcello or Eovaldi to go into Yankee Stadium with that little league right field and keep it in the ballpark. So I think they have to go up 2-0, take some of the pressure off.
Yeah, and so I asked Maz this yesterday, Derek. Is this like an NBA series? You have to hold serve.
I mean, it could very well go that way because, again, the two of them, when they played at home this year, the home team was the better team almost all the way across the board. The only one was the last one at the end of the year that didn't mean anything. The Yankees had games to play. The Red Sox didn't. The Yankees took 2 out of 3. But other than that, it pretty much went home team won the series. And so, look, I don't think the Red Sox need to win both here. But it would sure make me feel better if they won the first one because I don't want Price going 0-1.
Oh, then it gets real. Ooh, if they're down 0-1 and then Price tomorrow. Ooh.
And what's the temperature for tomorrow? Icy cold.
No matter what it is outside, it'll be icy cold inside Fenway. Dan in New York on Sony Michel. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So how are you guys going to continue? Are you guys just going to continue dying alone on this hill with Sony Michel? It makes absolutely zero sense that your depth of your analytic, how you're analyzing Sony Michel on that he had a 40-yard gain in garbage time is complete BS.
32 yards. Until that time, he had 15 carries for 58 yards. How's that BS?
Watch Butzelger. Watch him play.
Watched him play. I've watched every snap.
He's not fumbling the ball. Felger.
Dan. I'm the one who's bringing actual stats and facts to the table. Do you know how many runs? Yeah, no, do you know how many runs for 3 yards?
He's played 4.
Hold on. Guess in the last 2 games, how many runs for 3 yards or less Sony Michel has had in the last 2 games? Do you know that number?
No, I don't know that number. But
20. Well, let me answer. 27. 27 runs the last 2 weeks for 3 yards or fewer. 27. Before that run against Ronnie Lott there.
Matthias Farley.
With 7 minutes left.
Who looked like Chris Farley.
In garbage time against a horrible team on a Thursday night on a short week with half their starters injured. Before that run, he had 58 yards on 15 carries. What am I making up? So maybe he'll be good. Maybe he won't. I don't know. I don't know how you're judging it on those first 2 games. And he's been fine the last 2 games. He's fine. I don't see what's special about him yet, and if he is special, I still don't take that running back in the first round because I can find someone special on the street as easily as in the first round. But I think what's comical, it's cute, as I said to open up the show, is you all getting horny over that run against a horrible team in garbage time on Thursday night. Which, you know, I told you this was going to happen. I told you it was going to happen. I told you the other day.
What'd you say? You're in a no-lose situation today. Right?
I was take protected.
Yeah.
Because.
You had take insurance?
I did. Because if he sucked, I got to say he sucked. But if he did something, it's the spot. But that was so typical, too. It's not like he beat up on a bad team all night. He had like 2 or 3 runs. And they were nice runs. Like, he's fine. I'm not telling you he sucks or blows.
No, that take came with a guarantee.
But that, when he scores that garbage time touchdown, and everyone's like, see? It's like, you people are cute. You are adorable.
I don't think it was just that one. It's the overall body of work over the last couple of games, which I think you're underrating. And people are excited, I think rightfully, about the first round pick finally flashing here in the last 2 weeks.
I think James White's a better runner.
Oh, my God. He's so much more valuable to the offense. It's not even funny.
But I'm not even talking. I think he's a better runner right now than Michelle is.
I have a giveaway for you here in a second. I've done this for years. Like, this ain't my first rodeo. Do you remember all you people were lining up for LeGarrette Blount?
What are you, Francesa now?
No, but all I'm saying is, like,
I've done this 25 years.
But, I mean, it's true. whenever a little running back gets going, it's like, oh, wee, look at our running back. Look at our running back. Oh, Felger, you don't know what you're talking about. Week after week after week, I fielded the LeGarrette Blount calls. You remember it. It was just a couple of years ago.
LeGarrette Blount, they need Blount.
You don't get it. It's LeGarrette Blount. Blount force drama. Like I've done this before. It happens anytime any little running back does something. It's
this
like
is one of your greatest hits of takes.
Right? It is.
It's like your Stairway or Freebird.
And it's a gift.
Take platinum.
It's a gift that keeps on giving. When he ran over that crappy safety with 7 minutes left in complete garbage time, I'm like, here we go. Wait, I'm going to watch the parade go by. Oh, see? How do you like him now? What do you mean, how do I like him now? Like, what that? You just demolished the Colts again. What does that mean? Does that mean anything?
It's a double platinum take.
You're listening to Felger and Nass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Nass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
One more time, the final half minute here in week 5. Brady to the knee, and the Patriots have a week and a half, in essence, to prepare for the Kansas City Chiefs. New England wins it by a 38-24 final over Indianapolis. As Bill Belichick shakes hands with Frank Reich at midfield. And these teams go their separate ways, with the Pats now at 3-2 and the Colts at 1-4.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Sosa.
All right, voice of the Patriots, Bob Sosi, does this every week, joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios to dish out some smoke. He's coming off last night's win over the Colts. What's your number one takeaway from that game last night, Bobby?
Smoking Bob Sosi.
Oh, I'll get to it, Mike. I'll let you read the promo first, the drop in here.
I don't think I have one.
I don't think you sponsorship.
No, you need to bring some more heat, man, to get the sponsorship back.
First of all, my first takeaway is thank God for the wonderfully talented John Riley for that jingle and the intro, and as well the production team here for adding some positivity and some lightheartedness to this.
You're talking about the Adam Jones take?
Well, yeah. Just following that, his take and your takes. My God.
Sosie's listening to this. He's like, what is wrong with you guys? Like, Bob, it's a nonstop assault. It is a
he just said
nonstop
to me,
assault on Boston Sports.
No wonder why you sound depressed half the time you're in here, Jim.
I pick up the newspaper. I turn on the news. Yeah, I look around me. I mean, there is so much to make one miserable every day, every hour of every day in this world. I mean, can't you guys just for 1 week stop with the everybody sucks and Tony, everybody blows?
Nope.
Good God.
And then we give you Jones.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
That's so good. So what's your lead takeaway from last night,
Bobby? You know what really sucks? You know what really blows
what
in Tony's
does blow?
Words? Is when you say someone says, this player doesn't suck or blow, oh, you want to put him in Canton. Oh, because he had a running garbage time, 34 yards. Now you're ready to put him in the Hall of Fame.
No. What the Patriots fan does is some guy makes one play, and they're like, well, that settles that. Can we now shut up on this? Like, no, I'm not shutting up on that. It's one play against a horrible team on Thursday night. Doesn't prove anything.
All right.
I mean, that's really the point. But what stood out to you the most last night?
Well, I think right from the start, very first play of the game. And I think, you know, the way Brady came out 9-for-9 on that opening drive, but just the fact that he said during the week that having a guy like Julian, who in his words was explosive out of his breaks and knows how to find the right spaces in a defense, it's comforting for a quarterback. And right away last night, granted against a depleted defense, certainly a team on the rebuild, but shorthanded as it was, nonetheless, Brady was in his comfort zone right from the start. And he was in a different kind of zone for much of the game. Those first two drives, the only incompletion was a drop off Julian's hands down the sideline. But just the fact that Edelman was out there, the way they got going offensively, the 9 completions in the first 9 attempts to 5 different players, I think the dual threat now with James White and a developing Sony Michel in terms of what they can do in the backfield. To go along now with Brady's trust in Gordon as the night wore on, a drive starter and then the drive finisher as well. And I think that drive starter was just as important, really, as the play in the scramble situation where Gordon caught the 500th touchdown
so
pass.
So we haven't really hit on Edelman yet. How do you think he looked? How do you look physically?
I thought he looked good. He looked strong to me. And you know, and I say that seeing him, you know, granted, I don't always see him in a tank top, but with that Celtics jersey on in the postgame press conference, and I think he talked about it.
He made a point of showing us how jacked he is. He made a point of it.
And I thought maybe the most impressive play he made of the night, outside of maybe the quickness on a punt return, just the fact that he was back there to return punts, first game back in what, 20 months after a torn ACL. The play that he made on a high pass in the flat, it was a screen pass. He brought it down and he took a hit and he bounced off the hit and gained yardage after contact. That was a very impressive play in my mind.
He looked good. I thought Edelman looked better than I thought.
I mean, to me, the offense looks completely different when he's on the field. Mm-hmm. Looked completely different. But to me, the two lasting takeaways, potentially big picture, were Edelman number one. And then, I don't know, the regression of the defense in the second half. I mean, that, to me, is still an issue. Now you get Kansas City coming here. Indianapolis doesn't have any weapons, Bob. They had a horrible wide receiving core. We thought the Patriots was bad. Indy's is worse. Absolutely worse. And the second half, to me, was disappointing.
Well, I think you have to be concerned about nearly 300 yards, 298, I think, after halftime, and the productivity of the tight ends in particular in Indianapolis's case with Ebron and a guy named Swoop who has very limited football experience, let alone in the NFL.
Is that 86 who caught this?
Yeah, when you're getting ready to play Travis Kelce, you know, if he stays healthy this week against Jacksonville, a week from Sunday night, and what Andy Reid will do with his offense, and again, with a running back who's a dual threat, and a guy like Tyreek Hill and all the speed and misdirection that Kansas City presents offensively, with a guy who knows how to play call, but also a quarterback who has been dynamic thus far and has shown far greater arm strength, too, and an ability to get outside the pocket and make
right
plays
mobility
than what we saw last night. And I thought Andrew Luck really, you know, he still has, you know, those glimpses of what we saw in 12 and 13. But even watching him warm up, there was a lack of velocity on a lot of the throws. And it looked like he was really efforting, maybe even, you know, pushing the ball just to get it out there. And he made some good plays, and he had a productive night. But, you know, if Mahomes plays a week from Sunday the way he has played thus far, again, you're talking about a quarterback who's got tremendous arm strength and also the I hate to say it, the it factor that Luck once had as a quarterback.
All right, Bob Soce.
And may still work his way back as he gets healthy and his pieces around him get better.
Yeah, you heard Soce last night on the call as the Patriots beat the Colts. Maz on the defense, the guy felt like he got picked on the most was Devin McCourty.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you know, also, I think we either mentioned on the air or off the air, Gilmore felt like he gave up his share of plays as well.
Yeah, you know, I went back, and it's hard to tell with defensive backs in particular, especially when you're watching the condensed version, you know, today with compressed time because of a morning commitment and then, you know, different things during the course of the day, didn't have a chance to sit down and watch the full game. It's hard to tell on a television copy, number one, about coverages and who's at fault. I thought one of the touchdown passes looked like they were in a zone and Luck did a good job of looking off Chung, and that might have created a wider window for him to throw the first pass to Swoop. A couple of times Ebron got leverage, it appeared, on his route at the break to beat McCourty, including a score. So, you know, I also thought Devin made some good plays. Obviously, there was the takeaway. There were a couple of other passes broken up as well. I think one of them was negated by a penalty. As a defense, they didn't get a lot of pressure consistently, and I think that's a big factor in how well they played against Miami. Claiborne is the one guy that brought consistent pressure when he was out there last night, and that led to the interception by Patrick Chung. But I think, you know, Devin was a mix of things last night. Initially, I thought, wow, boy, you know, it was a rough night. And I think he even joked afterwards, according to Bedard, that, you know, I can't give up three touchdowns when Greg talked to him, according to what Greg said to Beadle and Jim on the postgame show. But when I went back and looked at it in a very quick look at the video, I didn't think it was as bad as initially thought. And again, I think it's on a lot of different parts of the defense.
Okay, so final word on Kansas City coming up. Why am I strangely confident if I'm the Patriots in this game? I'll tell you why. I don't know. When the Patriots see it coming and the opponent's getting a lot of hype, I sort of like him in that spot. I've always liked him in that spot. I always feel like that's sort of a, I don't know, I get that against Pittsburgh a lot. You know, you're going into Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh's flying high. I'm like, Pittsburgh's a lot of hype. I don't know. Pats are going to be ready for them. And I just feel there's been so much buildup on Kansas City. And they're really bad on defense, the Chiefs.
Right.
Yes, they are.
So now Andy Reid and Mahomes have got to match Brady and be aggressive and, you know, score in the 40s and do it at your place on a Sunday night. I like the Patriots in this spot. I do.
It's kind of funny. I feel the same way. And I think sometimes the season for Andy Reid's teams, at least in Kansas City, resembles the game plan. You know, these coaches that have the scripted game plan. Yeah, it's like the first 25 plays are brilliant.
He tightens up at the end,
and
too,
then, right? You know, the middle of the season, the complexion changes. People make adjustments, especially with the young quarterback and later in the year. I would imagine, just, you know, looking at the way Mahomes played against Denver, the Patriots are going to try to keep him in the pocket and force him to make plays from there, although he's more than capable of doing that. At least he has thus far. But they've played against some bad defenses. And you're right, their defense is bad. And I think if the Patriots' offense continues with the rhythm we saw early last night, and now that I think Brady has more pieces that he trusts around him, they can do that. That changes how the Patriots' defense plays, too. Now they become the complementary piece to the offense. It changes field position. It changes, you know, the way they approach things overall. And, you know, that bend but don't break philosophy now, you know, is more effective when you've got an offense that is putting up touchdowns and not giving, you know, teams an opportunity to kick a field goal, for example, like Detroit on that first possession. You know, going back to that game a couple of weeks ago, I thought that Detroit would never overcome that decision. And they did on that particular night. But going forward, I think the Patriots, if the offense stays healthy, is going to be such that, you know, the Patriots defense can go back to that bend but don't break style. And eventually, you know, they're going to outscore teams like Kansas City.
Okay, Bobby, enjoy your time off this weekend. We will catch
you next week.
Thank you, Bob. Guys. Have a nice positive weekend.
There you go.
It's a beautiful sunny afternoon.
Don't listen to Jones tonight. Here comes Murray's update. We're right back.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is everything we've worked for. This is the late nights, the early mornings, the travel, everything that we've collectively, coaching staff, medical staff, players, front office, have put ourselves through this entire year. It's now, and we got to go.
That is Chris Sale. And his availability, man, he was confident, strong, cocky. I'm playing the sound today. So we'll see what he's got tonight. Big one. Big one. Oh, you don't want to go down 0-1 and have Mr. Poopy Pants, David Price, going tomorrow before you even head to New York. So I think it's a fascinating thing just to see how Sale looks, because just, you know, is it possible he and the Red Sox were playing possum at all, or just overplaying the injury and he's going to be okay? Like, that would be fascinating. Again, I've been saying the whole time, I'll tip my cap to the Red Sox for feigning, you know, physical problems that aren't there or whatever. Like, I just think that would be well played, well done. But if he really is, you know, if he really is, has some issues there physically, then what does that mean? So it'll be fascinating to see tonight. The lineup is also out. And tell me if something stands out to you folks. Mookie Betts leading off. Andrew Benintendi batting second. Steve Pierce at first base batting third. Martinez in the cleanup spot. Bogarts 5, Nunez 6, Kinsler at second base batting 7th. Sandy Leon in the 8th spot. Jackie Bradley in the 9th spot. Steve Pierce batting third tonight.
Yeah. Surprising, right?
Okay, so explain to the people what you just explained to me.
Okay, so Pierce kills J.A. Happ. He kills him. And I remember this because the last series in New York, he faced him. He was in the lineup again, and I went, whoa, we had 5 home runs against him, and I think he homered in that game, if I remember right. So in his career, Pierce against Happ, 6 home runs and 32 at-bats, .344 average, OPS of over 1,400. And...
Wow.
What's his OPS? Over 1,400.
Wow.
No, he kills Happ. I mean, he kills him. So this to me is an interesting little matchup, that move. The Red Sox got Pierce to hit left-handed pitching. The Yankees got Happ to beat the Red Sox. So there you go. Like, there's one of your first in-season moves. Neither one of those guys was with those teams at the beginning of the year. They both made moves along the way, and now they're both going to be sort of playing prominent roles in game one of the series. So this gets back to the GMs and everything else. But I just think that the whole thing really is like the teams have changed a lot. Really a lot since the last time they played a meaningful series. I think this thing's going to be a barn burner.
Kinsler's numbers are pretty decent against him, too. 7 for 27 with 2 home runs.
Oh, good.
So
even though he sucks.
Well, no. So the other thing is Nunez at third and not Devers.
Correct. They're going right-hand heavy.
So that's it.
Yeah, they're going right-hand heavy. I mean, again, if you look at pretty much every spot, the two exceptions are Benintendi and Bradley. That's it. So, you know, this is the way they built some of the spots on that team, that they're going to go right-left at certain times, and we'll see how it shakes up. It gives them a good bench in the late innings if they want one. Obviously, you'll have Holt on the bench. You'll have Devers on the bench. Maybe and you got a third catcher in Swihart on the roster. So, again, there'll be some late-inning maneuvering there for Cora if he wants to do it. And as I said to you yesterday, Cora and Boone, you hit the reset button now. Here you go. I mean, during the regular season, Cora won. His team was better. They seemed looser. They executed better, all of it. Now we're in the postseason. We'll get to see how they do it, you know, see how they do, head-to-head.
Okay, agenda-free Friday. You want to join us on the Sox? By all means. You want to join us on the Kyrie Irving news? By all means. You want to talk Patriots? Always welcome here. Back to your phones on all of it. Kyle and Bill Ricker, what do you got on Sony Michel?
Yeah, Maz, how do you like Sony? 17 points on my fantasy team.
Good job.
But anyway, realistically, he is awful and blows really on the goal line. It is terrible. I mean, I don't even see the ability from him to get 5 or 6 yards consistently on our first end. But then, you know, I just don't see it. I want to know what you guys see from him.
I see if the holes are there, he hits them. Right? I've seen that. I mean, and, you know, the line's been great. Like, they've given him some huge openings.
Absolutely.
And he hits them. So, great. Like, I mean, it's not like he's missing the big holes that are there. I feel like if there's any sort of traffic, it's pretty much going to be a no play. I mean, again, he's had 27 runs of 3 yards or fewer the last 2 weeks. I mean, that feels to me like a crap ton. That feels like a ton.
And there's no way Belichick likes that.
Well, yeah, and the short yardage, and especially near the goal line, the caller's right. That's where it's leaving a lot to be desired, even though he has had 2 good weeks. And this is where, and I'm prepared to be mocked, this is where they miss Jeremy Hill, because that's why they brought him in, for short yardage in the red zone near the goal line.
I mean, look, Michelle doesn't shy away from contact.
No.
Right? So that's good, but he's also not, like, completely, guys aren't falling off him either. And so there was one run he had last night up the middle that I thought was a pretty good run, where someone got it by the legs and he almost broke through it. And I thought, had he been able to stay on his feet on that one, he'd have gotten another 10 easy. As it was, he got, I don't know, 5 or 6 maybe on the play. I don't remember. But that to me is the play that ultimately is going to distinguish him. If he can get there quick through there quickly enough, and maintain his feet, then, you know, then he'll be good.
Do the people hear that guy going check 1-2 in our ear?
Okay.
Or is that just us?
Yeah, we heard it. I don't know if it went out.
Okay. Shad's coming from the other control room, I think.
Anyway, either way, if you heard someone saying check 1-2, so did we. Here's Matt in Norton on Red Sox Yankees. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. As much as I hate to say it, I think it's going to be Yankees in 4. The reason I say that is just because we've seen so many times in the history of baseball teams that completely fold in postseason, it just becomes kind of cyclical, like the Braves in the 90s and the A's in the 2000s. I just got a bad
Dombrowski's, or Dombrowski's Tigers. Sorry, Matt.
Exactly. No, it's okay. I just feel like this team is going to become like them. I mean, 2 years in a row, 1-6 in postseason. And Sale, we have no idea what he's going to be. If he gives us 5 innings tonight, I'll take it. And then how about Rick Porcello? We forget about him a little bit. He has not won a single postseason game he's appeared in, either as a starter or as a reliever. He gets the ball in game 3. How do you feel about that?
I mean, there are some incredible stats there with your futility. I mean, what's Chauncey kept going to it? Your starters are 0-14 career in
playoffs? 0-19.
0-19? 0-19? 0-19.
Mm-hmm. 0-19.
Holy crap. What was the stat with David Price, the Verducci stat? There's been 86 pitchers in Major League history who've had X amount of postseason starts.
At least 9 postseason starts, and he's the only one without a win. Oh, no, I remember them. I don't even need to write them down. They stay right in there. I have a good memory like that.
Yeah, no, yeah, the negative stuff sticks.
For some stuff. Yeah. But no, I remember that one vividly. Yeah, vividly.
So those are scary numbers.
Yeah,
man.
They are. So again, this comes back to Sale. Okay, and you don't want to put too much pressure on any one guy when there were 25 of them, you know, available to play, and it's a five-game series. But if Sale is not himself, the whole complexion of that team changes.
We continue with your thoughts on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady's completed the seven passes to five different receivers. He's got Edelman on the outside left, Patterson in the slot, Hogan to the right, Rodgers the tight end right, White the single back, it's a screen left. Edelman makes the bobbling catch and then dives inside the two to the one. It'll be a third and goal to go after the third reception of the drive for Edelman.
Feed him, just feed him. Like I said, he came out like gangbusters in warm-ups, and he had to calm down a little bit. And they tried to gauge it this week. There, I will see how Jules is, and we'll continue to feed him if things are well. Yeah, it's a night and day different offense. This Six guy means everything. Game.
How was it connecting with Tom Brady?
It was great. There's some things that obviously we have to work on, but it was good to get out there and catch some rocks and go out and make some plays and be with the fellas. You know, I haven't played football in probably, I think it was like 405 days or something like that. So it was good to be out there in front of the crowd. They were rocking. They were awesome. You know, seeing all them was amazing. So you know, it was just great to be back.
All right, our impressions of Julian Edelman. I thought he looked good.
Good? I thought he looked great. I couldn't believe that he looked...
I mean, he looked like how he did before he got injured. The guy hasn't played since Super Bowl 51. I expected there'd be a little rust. It looked exactly the same. He was still getting the same kind of separation. They're using him on punt returns, which I didn't really like because I don't want him to get hurt. But the offense, you know, it runs smoother when he's there. It makes a world of difference. You saw it on the first drive. Brady, 9 for 9, first pass of the game, goes to Edelman. The place gets a pop. He feels like he's into it, and off we go.
Well, I love the fact that they got him involved right away. It's like they didn't wait. Right to him, here we go, don't skip a beat. I mean, the drop on the sideline bugged the crap out of me, but whatever, first game back. You know, fine. I just, that was egregious, that one. You can't drop that ball. And there were a couple of them in that game last night, not all by the Patriots. But overall, the thing that struck me the most, and I told you this, is just how much they look like themselves when he's on the field. And this brings me back to the whole thing of how do you not have a plan B there? Like, look at their offense last night. And again, forget the point total. Okay, forget the point, just how it looked in terms of first down, you know, Brady to Edelman +8, +7, whatever the number is. Like, now they're 2nd and 3, and now the defense is on its heels. Here you go. And then the first 4 weeks, they didn't have that at all. No facsimile of it whatsoever. Zero. It wasn't a part of their game plan. And that is Brady's strength. That 8-yard, that 7-yard pass in the middle of the field every single time. Nobody can defend it. And so you haven't had that for a month now. I know they know he was coming back, but Edelman's no sure thing to stay healthy. It blows me away that they did not they don't have a backup plan there. Given how much they rely on that in their offense, it blows me away that they don't have a backup plan.
He is jacked, though, man. He was fully inflated, that dude. So, like, he can't do steroids anymore like he used to because they're up him. You know, they're all over him now. But is it like, do you still get the benefit of that last cycle? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't
like,
know. I
you
can't
know,
speak
he,
to that, but
he
yeah,
trained
he
and trained
look,
and trained.
He looked ripped.
Then he got popped over the spring, but. He got the benefits of all that gas.
So how often does he get tested now, though?
I think it's up to 10 times a month or something like that. I can't remember the number, but it's random, and it's anytime, 24/7, whenever they want. Up your keister.
So, I mean, look, the offense either has to change, like he usually does.
He has to change octane, or he just got nice little wind at his sails. But, you know, and he made a point of it, too. Like, he comes out in that Celtics tank top after the game. It's like, dude. So he looked fabulous. And the play that really showed me his cutting ability was that punt return that was they actually brought it back on a penalty, but it was a middle punt return where he just stopped on a dime on a couple quick cuts. I'm like, woof, like there he is. So you know, right out of the chute, Julian Edelman, that's a game changer. You want to talk about a game changer? It's that guy. It's not the rookie running back.
I don't want. I'm with Murray. I don't want him out there on punt returns. I think that's a mistake. Unless it's you know a big game, a big spot.
Okay, we continue. Here's Bob in Easton. He says, a great Patriots win. This should be good. Hi, Bobby.
Typical. Typical, typical, typical. While sitting in my seat at Gillette last night, as I do every home game, You know, fans, you know, asking me, Bob from Easton, what do you think Felger and Mavs will say tomorrow? You know what? I came up with a new pool with my tailgaters. It's the new pool, Felger and Mavs Suck It Pool. And here's what it is. The 10 negative things that Felger and Mavs will bring up the day after the game. You know, whether it's cheating, who sucks, and then the wild card is going to be, you know, about Kraft, Belichick, and Brady fighting. Guys, you got to be kidding. What does this team today? Now the Colts are good, and now Sony Michel, he has a decent game, and now, well, it's against the Colts, and, you know, it's a cobwebs of a defense. What is going on?
No, I'm glad you said decent game, because that's right. It was decent. It was decent. Small d, decent. Wait. No, I'm glad. It's everybody else that's going, see? Whoa, see? No, a decent little game.
Decent's fair.
And, you know, a nice little last run in garbage time. But before that, again, 58 yards on 15 carries. I call that decent, just under 4 yards a carry. And squat on the goal line. But other than that, he's decent. But he started to say, what's it going to take, guys? Well, Bob, even for you, isn't it going to take more than a Thursday night win over the Colts? That's, you know, a bad Colts team, even with full health? But not even full health. Like, they were missing like half their. By the time you got into the second half, like, how many guys had gone down for that team? It was,
you know, Felga.
It's ridiculous. So, isn't it going to take more for all of us than that?
Oh, I mean, sure.
Even the most diehard Patriot fan doesn't take more than that.
Again, look, to me, in a lot of ways, that game wasn't much different than the one he had on Sunday. Like, it felt to me when there was room and space, he could run straight ahead.
You're talking Michel, yeah, specifically.
Yeah, Sony Michel. I look at it and say, essentially the same thing. Now, look, the part about saying he sucks and blows, okay, that I was wrong about.
So that's an official take back.
That's a take back.
You're taking it back.
I'm taking that back. I don't know if he sucks. It was unfair for me to make that judgment on him 3 weeks in. Okay, that was way too early to say that 3 weeks in. That part is fair. I went overboard. But I'm not budging from the idea that I still don't see the first round pick thing. I don't see that. I don't see this dynamic playmaker that all of a sudden you go, whoa, like that, like Tyreek Hill, you know, gets the ball in space and forget it. You're done. If that, I don't see that. And so now, could it come? Sure. Yes. The short yardage thing has been brutal.
He can't, the goal line's been a zero.
I mean, it's not even close, really. Now, last night on that one play he extended, I thought there was actually a chance they were going to challenge that. They didn't. Brady went over the top on the next one, although he took a pretty good shot in the process. Like, so, but if it's going to come to that, how many times do you want Brady doing that at the goal line, getting his back broken?
I just think Michel in general is just, I just think it's not that important. It's just, Edelman is so much more important. James White as the pass-catching option is so much more important. Your offensive line play, which in the running game has been really good, is so much more important. The issues on defense, good or bad, are so much more important. I'll even give you Josh Gordon. And what he did last night is so much more important. You have no one else who can do what Josh Gordon did. You have no one else who can do that, and you've had very few guys over the years who could do that. Sony Michel, so far to me, is just a dime a dozen. It's just like there's a ton of guys who can do that. That's all. He's just not nearly as important as you think that he is.
You probably already know this already. You mentioned James White. I think White's been their best player this year so far.
He's tremendous.
He's been dynamite. Did you realize, someone said this the other day, and I thought it was sort of like a casual passing general reference. Do you realize he's never fumbled in the NFL?
What?
He's never fumbled. James White has zero fumbles in his career. Zero. I looked it up last night.
Does he have McNally coming back to handle his footballs for him? Like, what the hell? How's that possible?
He's never fumbled.
And that was for Bob and Easton. There's your cheating reference. You can fill out the Felger and Mavs bingo card.
No, the balls aren't soft. Just look what happened with Gronk and Hogan last night. No,
well, I was going to tell you that they must have changed him and put a K-ball in the game or something happened there. Because they had a little try to get a little air out of those. We'll fix that problem right up.
All right, Gasper is slated to join us next hour, but you never know with the Globie. That's coming up right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.